Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Raya Drogasil conference call to discuss its results for the second quarter of 2012. The audio for this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet and the website www.rayadrogasil.com.br/IR. In that address, you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will be only able to listen to the conference during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a Q&A period. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star zero for an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the Safe Harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Raya Drogasil management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Raya Drogasil and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today with us are Mr. Claudio Roberto Elli, CEO, and Mr. Eugenio De Zagottis, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Vice President. Now I'll turn the conference over to the directors. You may begin your conference.
Adding to the second quarter conference call of Raya Drogasil. On page 3, I'll go over the highlights of the quarter. We ended the quarter with 807 stores in operation. We opened 26 new stores, igniting the store opening program of this year, and 4 closures in the quarter. We achieved 1.4 billion reais in gross revenues, 18.8% of growth over the previous year, which also represented 11.5% of same-store sales growth for the company. We achieved a gross margin of 28.1%, a 1.7 percentage point increase, which consisted basically in the delivery of the cost synergies we have been talking for so long. As a result, our adjusted EBITDA amounted to 100 million reais, an increase of 22%, and an EBITDA margin of 7.3%, a 0.2 percentage point margin expansion in the quarter. Finally, our adjusted net income amounted to 53.8 million, 3.9% of net margin. On the next page, I'd like to highlight that we already have 807 stores in operation. We opened 26 stores last quarter, and we also closed 4 stores. This was the beginning of a cycle of redundant store closures, which actually consists in one of the synergies. this closures consist of shutting down one of 2 redundant stores, which are generally subpar stores, and we increased the total results because the gross profit transferred from the closing stores to the surviving one generally far exceeds the operating margin that the closed stores had until then. So we are very happy with the initial results of this 4, and we will persist in the strategy over the next few quarters with some more store closures that will help our numbers coming forward. As of now, 35% of our portfolio consists of yet-to-mature stores. So we have a significant growth momentum ahead of us. On page 5, I would like to give more details into our growth program. We have aimed at 130 new store openings over this year. We have now, at the second quarter of the year, opened a total of 35 stores. This is more than the total number of stores opened by the second quarter of last year, when we reached a total store development program of 99 stores. So in terms of our operations, in terms of our store development, we were absolutely on track to meet the 130 new store guidance that we have set. Giving more details on that, considering today we have already 47 stores open, so in the last 40 days alone, we opened 12 more stores, so we are really on a full-fledged basis here with our growth. And we have already signed 73 additional contracts that would assure 120 stores already this year. Furthermore, we have several contracts in advanced stages of negotiation, so that by the end of this month, we would have the full 130 new stores that we would be open under our guidance. We also have 26 additional stores that we acquired from Drogaria Santa Marta in the state of Goiás. This company is undergoing a Chapter 11 restructuring, so our purchase depends on granting legal authorization so that we don't run any contingency risk from that. This is taking some time, so most likely these stores will not be part of this year's program, and rather they will help us in next year. We have released yesterday a material fact disclosing our upcoming incorporation of Raia by Raia Drogasil. The main reason for the incorporation is for us to effectively transform into one company and as a result be able to integrate IT, logistics, and all of our operations so that we can achieve the benefits of the merger. We can get further synergies. We can get the best of both companies implemented in a single operation. So this is a paramount step for us to proceed with the integration. The only collateral effect that it brings is a temporary suspension of the opening of new Droga Raia stores, which haven't yet get licensed. What happens is that today is like a cutoff date, so every store already licenses today under Raia, they will have their fiscal and sanitary licenses migrated to Raia Drogasil. This is a very complex and time-consuming process. And so we starting today, we start transferring those licenses to Raia Drogasil. What happens, however, is that all the new stores that will be open and that haven't been licensed yet, these stores will be licensed already under Raia Drogasil, and as a result, they can only be opened after the incorporation is completed. From the legal point of view, we could today open a Raia store under Raia Drogasil already. The problem is that we don't have systems for managing different Raia stores at different companies. So we really need the corporation to finish before we can resume operating. Nothing happens to the Drogasil development program, as Drogasil is already within Raia Drogasil. And we expect the incorporation to be finished by the end of this year. So we are setting a new store opening guidance for this year of 110 stores, and we are setting for next year 130 new stores to be opened as well. So it's important to be very clear about that, and we are always very frank in the way we speak. There is no issues for us as far as having the stores and being able to open the stores to deliver the guidance. This change is only to reflect the incorporation of Raia Drogasil, of Raia into Raia Drogasil, which is a step that would have been it's paramount to that. On page 6, talking about market share. We increased our market share to 9% on a national basis, and the main highlight was the state of São Paulo, our main market, where we came from 20 to 21.6% of share. What happens here is that a significant part of our store development in the later years, especially on the higher side, happened in São Paulo. So we have a huge tailwind in terms of maturation of existing stores. And we continue to open new stores in São Paulo and always very successfully. So it's a privilege to be open, to be able to open so many stores in a mature market where we already have our brands very, very strong. We have also grown in most states where we compete. In a couple ones, we remain flat, Minas Gerais and Rio de Janeiro. And we got a decrease in Goiás. What's important to mention here is that, first, we stopped growing in Goiás for some time. So we have virtually no maturation momentum here to achieve. And as the markets grow and we are not opening any new stores, automatically this means market share loss. Furthermore, if you remember, Drogasil one year and a half ago bought stores from Santa Marta in Brasília. Santa Marta, which is now in the Chapter 11, used their cash and improved the inventory levels of their stores, so they were almost ran down and the stores somehow recovered and they affected everybody in the market. We are now finishing the process of buying 26 Santa Marta stores, which will consolidate our absolute leadership, not only in Goiás, but also the whole Midwest region of Brazil. We also point the entry in Santa Catarina, which happened last year, and we have already consolidated 2.5% of market share, and also our entry into Mato Grosso that happened late last quarter. Mato Grosso is located on the Midwest of Brazil. We just opened last Wednesday, 2 days ago, our first stores in Mato Grosso do Sul, another small state in the Midwest of Brazil. And finally, yesterday, we opened our first store in Bahia, in the southern city of Itabuna. And this new store is the start of a big cycle of store openings in the years to come. So in reality, not only we get into Bahia, but Bahia is our gateway into the northeast region of Brazil, which is a major region with very high growth rates and significant economic improvement taking place. So this is part of our short, middle, and long-term growth. And we believe that we'll be successful in these new states just as we have been in every single state where we have entered over the last 12 years. On page 7, and I apologize for my voice, I'm recovering from a cold. On page 7, we achieved for mature stores in the second quarter of this year 7.8% of growth. This is in line with the previous quarters, with the exception of the first quarter of this year, when we had grown by 10.8%. At the last conference call, I had mentioned that 10.8 was a one-time benefit, and we would go down over the next quarters, and this is exactly what's happening. Out of the 10.8, 1.2 is the positive effect of the leap year. This will have an extra day of sales this year when compared to the last year. And the second and probably most important part of the difference here is the fact that we are dealing now with a significantly stronger comp base than the one we had at the first quarter. Important to mention, especially in the case of Raya. Raya completed its IPO late 2010. The beginning of 2011, we increased significantly our inventories at the stores, reduced stockouts. Through the last two quarters of last year, we increased our staff deployment at the stores so that Raya comps that had ended 2010 on a low basis, it increased to something like 6% in the first quarter of last year, and then to a level of 9-10%. For the last three quarters of the year. So in the second quarter, we were dealing with an easier comp base of 6% in the case of Hyatt, and now we are dealing with a 10% comp base, which is a much tougher one. on the next page, that gets more clear. As we depict the growth by brand. So Hiya, that was facing a 6% comp base, now is facing a 10% comp base, and as a result, decelerated to 6.4% of growth. Drogasil, which is still facing an easy comp base of the early part of last year, was managed to deliver 9.1% of Matrusto growth. If we combine the last 2 years of growth, so we'll have a 2 year stacked growth for Hiya north of 16% and for Drogasil north of 14%, which is both numbers are good numbers in our belief. And Hiya has, over the long term, more growth momentum because of lower revenues per store. But this year specifically, we're dealing with a very different comp base. On page 9, talking about the product mix, generics was once again the highlight of the quarter. And this is great news because, as you know, margins in generics are much better than everything else. So we increased from the previous quarter our generics contribution to the product mix from 10.8 to 11.5. So this is a significant advancement at the beginning of this year. And it's a lot due to our execution of our stores. There is some help from new products, but at this point, I would say it's execution that is driving these generics growth. Hygiene personal care, they slightly better than the total growth of the company. And OTC is the lowest category and has been so for a while. On the next page, talking about gross margins. Gross margin was really the highlight of the quarter with an improvement of 1.7%. This is basically delivery of the cost synergies we have been talking for this whole year after we announced the transaction with Brazil. Important to mention that we have two special effects in this number, but that offset one another. One is the fact that this year we have a less favorable forward buying season because prices increased by only 3% as opposed to price increases of 4.8% last year. However, we also had an untimely allocation of trade allowances that related to the previous quarter at this quarter, and these effects, they almost offset each other. What happens is that we are developing annual action plans with our main suppliers. So we're setting margin targets, we're setting volume aspirations, and as a result, our trade allowances are negotiated for the full year. As some of these negotiations do not end in the first quarter, in the second quarter, we allocated the part relative to the first quarter. But that compensated for the loss of forward buying gain because of a slower price increase. We still have a very strong, a high cash cycle this quarter, an increase from the previous quarters. And then we are facing the need for logistics rebalancing across distribution centers. What happened is that 2 years ago, both I and Drogasil, we had only one distribution, each of us, and one distribution center. So, total two. And we have now moved to 6 distribution centers. So, all new distribution centers, they take a lot of additional inventories. And over time, the mature distribution centers, they get down in inventories as they start serving less stores. And this takes time to happen, so this is a progressive process, and that has pressured our cash cycle. We also have some part of the increase due to improved purchasing. There is a specific negotiation that in which we lowered payment term and had a significant margin increase. So I would say that part is structural. And I mean, we were once again strong in opportunities. And now, as we are more pressured with our cash cycle, we are, I mean, the most talked word at Hydro as of the quarter is certainly working capital reduction. And even if you have somehow to sacrifice opportunity, not structural negotiations, but opportunistic purchases, we may do that in order to improve our cash position. On page 11, our main pressure for the quarter was in sales expenses. If you compare the quarter with the previous years, I mean, we have a 1.4 percentage point expense increase. We have to break this in two different parts. The first part, the second to fourth quarter, in which we had a strong people deployment increase at higher stores, and also we had a payroll increase last July, which was above inflation. So the 0.8%, which is exactly this difference, was due to these labor movements, which, especially in the case of headcount, that was structural, and that has a very important role in improving, in allowing Drogahaia to close the gap with Drogazil. The second part here, from 17 to 17.6, then this is a specific pressure that is being exerted by new stores recently opened, as well as pre-operational expenses of upcoming stores. The reality here is that our expansion program was running late, so a lot of stores that were supposed to be open the first quarter only were open on the second quarter. We're just now getting in phase, and these delays being a significant pressure for the in terms of pre-operational expenses, because several stores we already paying salaries, we already paying rentals, and we still don't have any revenues to balance that. So the combined pressure of new stores and stores yet to be opened that are already booking operational expenses is exactly this gap. And so I think this is a very, very high expense point that we're facing right now. General and administrative expenses on page 12 has remained flat at 3.3%, and then it's important to mention that we booked in the last quarter $1.7 million which was a reassessment of our labor contingency provision. So that affected the number, but it's part of operations, it's part of the year. It's more in the interest of disclosure that I'm mentioning there. Finally, on page 13, talking about our EBITDA, we reached $100 million, improve 0.2% 0.2 percentage point of gross margins, and this was impacted by the increase in expenses, especially due to the impact of the new store opening. Here we have on the right a very interesting analysis that shows how big is the impact of new stores and stores yet to be opened. We have two Hydrogazils. One part is the company that existed by the end of last year, that ended last year with 776 stores. The second part is the new stores that have been recently opened and that are already in the process of opening. So the original part of Hydrogazil, the original 776 stores, and putting here 100% of administrative expenses and everything in, this operation turned the gross revenues of $1.38 billion in the quarter. So it's slightly lower than the total because these stores have also generated some revenues. $107.5 million of EBITDA. So the impact of the new stores and pre-operation expenses of future stores is $7.3 million in the quarter. So these existing operation displayed an EBITDA margin of 7.9%. So, and the impact of the delay in our store development was pretty major, I would say. And the main reason here is that we are entering in three new states. When you enter a new market, because store licensing varies a lot from market to market, both tax and sanitary licenses. So in every new market, we have a steep learning curve in the beginning. So the first stores, we don't know our way around, and we don't know how long the process takes. We don't know what exactly we had to do. So there are some delays caused because of that. So and one problem is taking longer to open a store. Another problem is not knowing how long it takes to open a store, which is the case in new markets. Because if you know you take 6 months, for example, to license a new store, you start hiring at month three and not at month one. But as we didn't know how that would evolve, I mean, we have hired at month one and have paid salaries for 6 months in this example. So we are in a peak of new stores pressure this quarter, and that somehow penalized the quarter and consumed part of the margin gain that we achieved at gross margins. On the next page, we achieved 3.9% of net margin, 0.5 percentage points below last year's. Depreciation stayed flat, but as we consume more working capital, we came from 0.6% of net financial revenues to 0.1% of net financial income. Page 15, talking about our cash flow. We generated $101.6 million in resources from operation. We invested $113 million in cash cycle, but we got a benefit of $28 million in other current assets and liabilities. The main line here was the beginning of the recovery process for accumulated taxes. So we already reduced taxes to be recovered by $18 million in this second quarter of the year. So our operations generated $17 million. We invested $50 million, the bulk in new stores, and generated the quarter a negative free cash flow of $33 million. On page 16, we show how our stock has performed over the last 5 years. Drogasil, this quarter, completed 5 years as a relevant public company. Drogasil's offer took place June 2007. Drogasil was already a listed company, but with very low liquidity. So, effectively, Drogasil became a relevant listed company exactly 5 years ago, counting from the beginning of last quarter. Over this time, the investors that have the persistency to stay in the company, they multiplied the amount invested by four times. This is very significant number, I would say. And the investors who joined us at higher IPO 1 year and a half ago, they multiplied by 1.2 times in only 18 months. So this has been a significant value creation cycle for our company, which we believe will continue in the years to come. So, summing up all we have said so far, this is the 5-year anniversary of Drogasil as a listed company, with the value of the investment multiplied by 4 times for those persistent investors that entered the IPO and stayed until now. This quarter, we also started our synergy delivery that we have been talking for the last year, as shown by the gross margin increase that we achieved. We have also ignited our strong store development for the year. After a slow first quarter in new openings, we have now 47, counting today, 47 new stores opened. And we have a very strong pipeline ahead of us. So that in the two-year period between 2012 and 2013, we will open a total of 240 new stores. This is a number, I would say, unseen in our industry, especially as the bulk of this is pure organic growth. Besides the 26 stores in Goiânia that should be available for us to open by the beginning of next year, all the remaining stores should be for pure organic growth, where we cherry pick each of those stores, we evaluate the potential, and we estimate the returns of each of those stores. So it's the safest investment plan around. Generally, our mature stores, they deliver a 10-year internal rate of return in excess of 25% real, and the new regions, that is north of 20%. It costs us 2x EBITDA to open new stores, and we are opening 240 of these over this year and next year combined. We entered 3 new states, 2 in the Midwest, and then Bahia, which is our gateway into the Brazilian Northeast and will be an important part of our growth program in many, many years to come. We started the recovery of accumulated tax credits after a 4-year struggle, so we now have a clear path. We started transferring credits to suppliers, and we just turned into the substitute tax collectors for ourselves. So until now, we're buying at our distribution centers and our suppliers were prepaying our taxes. Now, they are no longer prepaying our taxes. We only pay our taxes when we ship from our distribution center to our store. So as a result, not only this is a path for recovering the tax credits that are already booked, but also we have a working capital benefit here because an important portion of our working capital, especially the value of our inventories, is taxes pre-collected. And we are now taking credit of those taxes, and we'll be recovering those taxes over the next 2 years. So this will be a significant cash generation for the company. And finally, last but not least, we are now preparing the incorporation of Raia, which is a key pillar to the full integration of Raia Drogasil and the full construction of a single company with integrated logistics, IT, store managers, and everybody, everything else. So this is what we have for you, and we're now open for questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you would like to withdraw your question, press *2. Our first question comes from Guilherme Assis at Raymond James.
Hi, Eugenio. Hello, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. I have actually 2 questions. The first one is regarding the difference in the same-store sales growth that we saw for Raia and Drogasil during the quarter. You mentioned that Raia's, relatively lower same-store sales growth was related to the higher base of growth that Raia had been posting in the past few quarters, and Drogasil is on the opposite side, right? I'd like to understand, how the two companies stand in terms of sales per store and what we should expect going forward in terms of same-store sales growth. My feeling is that Raia is still lagging behind Drogasil, as the company was actually coming from a much lower base before the IPO and the merger. That's my first question. The second question is regarding the sales expenses that we saw. They're reaching something like 17% of the sales. And in the past, they were actually below at around 16%. I'd like to understand that with this ramp up in the sales per store that we expect to have both at Raia and Drogasil, we should see it coming back to 16% of sales at some point after you complete all these investments that you have been making to improve the operations. Those are my two questions. Thank you.
Okay, Guilherme, thank you. First of all, we really credit the slowdown in higher growth to the strong comp base. So, I mean, if we stayed flat in sales from 1 month to the following month, March, we're talking about 6 or something like that comp, and suddenly April, we're talking about a 10 comp. There is no way in 1 month you could make that leap and keep the constant growth ratio that we were sustaining. Haya has something like 10% lower revenues per mature store when compared to Drogasil. So, yes, this is a significant gap and a significant opportunity for us. If you look, the 2 years stacked mature store sales growth, Haya is growing above of Drogasil. This year is not because of a strong comp base. Well, Drogasil has a pretty easy comp base. But on the 2 year, if you look to the 2 years together, I mean, it's undeniable that Haya is starting to reduce the gap. Is the gap ever being bridged? I don't know. I think not. I think there is an opportunity to reduce the gap, but I think Drogasil tends to be bigger revenues per store for mature stores than Haya. Drogasil is a stronger brand in São Paulo. This is clear for me today, much more clear than it was when we were separated. Our consumer surveys show that in a very clear way. When you compare Haya and Drogasil, two stores with similar potential, Drogasil generally sells more in São Paulo. Another issue is that Haya is more concentrated in São Paulo. So you take one neighborhood like Moema, Haya has 5 stores, Drogasil has 2 stores. So there is no magic rule that says that both companies have to have different assets, have to have identical sales per store. But yes, there is an opportunity to close the gap, and we will work on that. And that's a multi-year endeavor and not a quick fix that we can do from one quarter to the next quarter. As for sales expenses, I mean, it would be very simplistic to assume that a growth program like this doesn't have consequences. So it brings huge expense pressures. It could be higher sometimes, like we believe it's now, but even in a normal quarter, that expense is always built on. At some point, which I hope is not, it takes a lot to happen, that pressure will ease off. But that means that we won't be opening new stores or nothing material, at least. This is what happens to the American drugstores. You look, Walgreens, they now add 200 stores a year, over 8,000 store base. So then they have very little pressure from new stores. So the bad news is that we will have that pressure going on for a very long time. But the good news is that we are creating tons of value by doing that. Another important point is that margins and expenses are not completely separate stories. We have inflationary pressures that not only for us but for all retailers, and they're here to stay. So even without any growth impacts, our expenses would be pressured. Last year we had an 8% salary increase versus an inflation, I don't know, of 5.5, something like that, or 6%. So, these pressures are expensive. But at the same time, as every retailer in the country feels that pressure in the same way, everybody is more inclined to work with better gross margins. In the end, I mean, the bills that are put on any company, either by the government, if it's a tax, or by the economic situation of the country, if that's inflation. For any business, who pays those bills are always the consumer of the product. So I don't believe our sales expenses will get down to 16%. But a big portion of the loss between the 16 and the point at which sales expenses remain flat once again, the gross margins pays for that, and that's part of the natural cycle of the business.
Okay. Okay, just a follow-up, if I may, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you mentioned that there's a difference in the performance from the brands, sometimes due to geographic, you know, locations and distribution of the stores. But if that is the case, would you be considering, like, changing or converting stores from one brand to the other in order to ramp up sales?
Then the issue, Guilherme, is marginal economics, because what let's assume that we turn a higher store into a Drogasil store. Potentially, yes, that could increase the revenue. And in specific places, we can try to do that. But overall, the world is bigger for two brands. So if we dropped one brand, we would be having a lot of self-cannibalization of stores. We wouldn't be able to grow. Before the merger, we wouldn't open stores any closer than 500 meters from to each other. Nowadays, because we have two brands, sometimes you can open a store 200, 300 meters of a pre-existing store as long as it's a different brand. So you can be right, but over a much smaller store base, which is not the strategy we are pursuing.
Okay. Thank you, Eugenio.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Juliana Rosenbaum at Itaú BBA.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Just a follow-up question. I'd just like to make clear what you can and cannot do before the incorporation of Hiya. So after you incorporate Hiya, you'll be able to change brands among each other, so you need the incorporation to be able to do that. And if you also need the incorporation to use each other's distribution centers, and also if you also need the incorporation to use, to potentially use the goodwill from the merger. Thank you.
Juliana, first things first. So why incorporating? Because if you want to share distribution centers, if you want to have a single accounting, if you want to really unify and integrate processes and and deliver the value proposal of this merger, which is bringing the best skills from both sides, the best competences to build a truly distinguished company, we must be a single company to do that. I mean, no doubts about it. There are costs, direct and indirect, of being two different companies. One of those is in my previous example. Right now, if you wanted let's see in a company, in a certain city, we have a higher store that should be converted to Drogasil. Nowadays, we will close the higher store. We would lose our license to sell controlled medicines. We would lose our license to be in the Farmacia Popular program. And then we'll have to reopen and reclaim those licenses and be operating without them for a long period, and having the store closed for a long period. So after the incorporation, I mean, we can change stores from one brand to the other, and that's only like a fantasy name change. I mean, the end is the same legal entity. So to do all those things in a consistent way, we need the incorporation. So that's the first part. The second part, why do we need to interrupt the opening of unlicensed higher stores? Because we have to migrate every existing license from one company to the other company. This is a very complex and time-consuming process. So we have to have a cutoff at some point, and that point is now, because otherwise, by the time we incorporate, a store that has been opened by Hiya would have to be shut down because Hiya no longer exists and be reopened as well. And the market impact of closing a store in that situation is terrible. So we are stopping with new unlicensed stores because from now on, those existing licenses will be migrated to Hidrogazil, and that takes time. And all the new stores will be already opened under Hidrogazil. Could we open now a Hiya under Hidrogazil? Yes, from the legal point of view, we could open. But the Hiya system is not able to sustain operations of the same brand within two different companies. So we would spare a lot of effort changing our systems with risk involved in that, in order not to interrupt stores and to forego the opening of 20 stores. I mean, if you look over a long-term perspective, I mean, the value of 20 stores over the 900 that we'll have by the end of this year, something like that, I mean, this is dismal compared to the benefits of the incorporation. As far as goodwill goes, goodwill has never been the goal or the reason for this transaction. The reason for the transaction was to build a distinctive company by two companies who share values and visions and have complementary assets and capabilities. The reason now for incorporation is really to allow our integration to happen. So as far as goodwill, anything we'll see further down the road.
Okay, great. Thank you. Just another follow-up. Is there anything that could go wrong in the transition from the existing stores into the new licensing? I mean, is that a risk at all? I mean, or it just takes time, but it's easy to do?
We don't believe in any major risks. Of course, that any human endeavor has risks. You are now at the office and the ceiling can get down. We don't count on that, and we are planning and do all we can for that not to happen. Could that be disturbances in one city or another city? Could be possible, but that would not be relevant. We have a huge concentration of stores in capitals, and in capital is one process for many stores. So before we actually initiate the merger, the incorporation, which means setting up the day for the General Assembly and things like that, we will have clarity that the bulk of our stores will be on a clear migration path.
Okay. Thank you very much, Eugenio.
Thank you.
This will be the final announcement. In order to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad at this time. It appears to be no further questions. Now I'll turn the conference back to the company for their final remarks.
Well, thank you all for attending this conference call. We remain very, very excited by the future we are building. Certainly, our perspective is always a long-term perspective. We don't disregard the short-term, but we don't take decisions based exclusively on the short-term. So we remain excited by our store development prospects. We remain excited by what we can achieve by improving our operating standards as a result of combining those distinctive competencies that Haya and Drogasil brings to the table. I think structurally the numbers of this quarter are good numbers because they clearly signal the benefits from the cost synergies, although somewhat affected by the expense surge from pre-operational expenses. But, I mean, we believe we are absolutely on path to bring this company from one level of profitability to the next level of profitability. And thank you very much, and we remain available through our investor relations department for any contacts for any of you. Thank you very much.
Conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.